remember? Anyone? Poor in spirit, not being mousy. Mousy, right? It doesn't mean poor necessarily. That's right. It's not false humility. Yes. If you forgot the zero bar, you forgot the whole thing yesterday, didn't you? I had more talks about that. I told my wife about that yesterday, and she laughed. She said, "You used my example?" I said, "Yeah, that's fine." They liked it. They liked it. And I'm going to try to find a picture of my wife and kids so you can see them. They're great, great family, and I love being with them. So, well, this morning we are going to go to Blessed Are the Meek. Blessed are the meek. What do you think of when you think of meek? What's the first word that pops in your mind? Shy? Weak. That's the first thing everybody thinks of when they think weak. Meek is weak. We're going to refute that today. But that's what we have. See, our society has defined words for us. And so this is a fun one today. I've thoroughly enjoyed studying and understanding and looking at the scriptures together. So let's do that. Let's pray together. Father, for this time in the Word, I would ask that you would give us strength, your Spirit's anointing. May you touch each heart. May you draw us into oneness with you. May our minds think like your minds. May we act like you in all that we do and say. And may these days that we are in, be profitable to the soul. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. No doubt when Jesus spoke the words, "Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth," more than a few eyebrows were raised. That's not what they wanted to hear in that day. We have to understand what was going on in the day of Jesus. What was happening? Tell me a little about the history of that time. I'm going to have you talk to me more, okay? So get ready. Thank you. You nailed it right off. Roman occupation was going on. So the current mood of the religious leaders of that day was not "blessed are the meek" at all. No. To their way of thinking, the only way to inherit the land was do like America did and have an American Revolution. They didn't know about it then, right? But that's the way they thought. And that could never certainly be done by those who were meek. Never could be done, according to their thinking. It would take a massive show of force, a great deal of aggression, and it would take a fight, fight, fight. Have we heard that somewhere recently? That just popped in my mind. Don't get me off on the election right now. We have a humdinger coming up, don't we? Wow. When's the last time you heard someone say, if you want to really try to get ahead in life, try meekness? You ever heard that? Or if you really want to rise to the top and be someone, get somewhere, exhibit a little meekness. Meekness is not a characteristic that's promoted in our society, not at all today. As a matter of fact, the world's philosophy is just the opposite. If you want to get ahead, you must fight your way to the top. The world tells us we must be more assertive, we must express ourselves, we must organize, we must put our resources together. We've got to use power and have any and every means in order to succeed. But we should not be surprised that our Lord had some different thinking for the time. And he said, "Blessed are the meek." Now, let me just take a few minutes and look with you. I'm going to give you several things. So some of you have a Bible ready. If I want to throw a scripture or two, I want you to read loudly, okay? Saturday morning, I'm going to speak on leadership. I don't talk about this much. I've written 6 or 7 books and many, many articles, but the one book on leadership sold about 500,000 copies. A typical book that you see in the store sells 3,000, so I feel pretty good about that. And when I was writing it, I made the craziest statement. I was like, I'm going to give the Lord all the proceeds out of this book. And then we sold 500,000. I got $1 a book. That's $500,000. I just gave it to the Lord, and I could have had that. Man, I was like, what's wrong with me? Not really. But writing is something I've enjoyed doing, and you can see probably in some of the things that I put together. But I want to take just a few minutes, and I want to look at meekness, first of all, according to the world. According to the world, the first thing the world thinks of is meekness is equated with weakness. That's right. They're the very word you use. That's the first word that pops into mind. The world views someone as meek as being timid, shy, backward, someone who doesn't have confidence, someone who cannot make something happen. Meekness many times is referred to as, that person's such a nice person. You've met them, you know, they're just so nice. Which means they won't confront anything or say anything or do anything. They just get along and just exist. You've met them in the world. But meekness is not something you obtain biologically. I told you I studied all the sciences. I love it. Meekness is not a biological inheritance. Stay with me. It's something that God puts within your spirit. Some people are just naturally nice. You've met them. I've met them. I've met some people who are not Christians who are nicer than any Christian I've ever met. Can you say that? You've seen them. You've met them. I could take you. My grandmother, we had a group of murderers come through and tear our town up. And my granny was the sweetest lady. I just love her. She was the one that said to me when I was about 5 years old, she'd say, "Marky, you going to be a president or you going to be a preacher? I can't figure out which one yet." And so she very early on would tell me I'm going to be one of these people. But she was one of those nice people. But can I share something with you? Some dogs are nice. And some aren't. We had a dog that was part pit bull. I didn't know it. And there's no way that dog was going to be nice. He'd just soon bite you as look at you. He didn't stay long at my house, needless to say. But if you came to my house and you walked in my house right now and you saw my lab, Bo, as we call him. Bodacious is his name. Bo is, when I walk in, he will be all over me. He doesn't stay in the house. He stays outside, okay? Some people like house dogs. My wife and I prefer to have them. But he wants to come in all the time and be with us. You can't make Bo mad if you tried to make Bo mad. He's just a nice dog. He just got it somewhere. And some people are like that. So being nice doesn't necessarily mean you're a meek person. Meekness is displayed by those who are willing to promote peace at any price, the world says. But that's not meekness. Just having peace at any price means that there's a conflict brewing somewhere. Just know that and understand that. The person who readily compromises on every issue is not considered to be a meek person. The world thinks so. That's not a meek person. So what is meekness? I'm going to give you a definition. I've studied this and written and rewritten, and here's where I've come to. And it's going to shock you, and it's biblical, what I've come with. Meekness is Holy Spirit strength. It is controlled, listen to the words I've chosen very carefully in studying, a controlled response. A measured response. One that is not of a complaining or self-seeking spirit. Meekness is strength of character in the Holy Spirit. I should publish that. I didn't find that somewhere. I just took a lot of different ones and put them together. And I've come to conclude that meekness is actually a byproduct of the Holy Spirit. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are those who have strength of character. Blessed are those who can endure in the struggle and not be complainers. Blessed are those who can control their responses. You've been around them. You've met them. You know the ones who have the mouth of the South? You met some of those? Anybody ever met one of them? Man, if they stink it, they say it, and it's out. And it doesn't matter if it just slayed about half the crowd. There's no control. They're just like, boom, explodes out. It's not what meekness is. Meekness, as I study the scriptures, is about a disciplined strength within our life. Now, you say, well, Brother Mark, I'm not meek. Well, this is one where the Holy Spirit can help us. I was raised in a fantastic home, a great mom and dad. My mom had a little more fire. I remember one day, and I'm thankful, I'm not bragging, but I'm 58. I've never tasted alcohol. I come from the hillbilly background, and if you see some of the TV shows on today, the moonshine shows are exactly where I live. And I'm not joking. When they say Floyd County, it's 30 minutes from my house. When they say Grayson County, that's where I live. Okay? So the moonshiner shows are what was about our area. But my dad has that just strength of character. And I've watched him over and over as a young man because I had a little more fire. I got a little more mama in me. I could address an issue if I need to. And I started watching the response. And my mom is a meek person. Don't take me wrong. But there was so much misunderstanding about this whole idea of meekness. But I've come to understand this. Meekness is a quiet resolve to be righteous and to do the right things. In fact, I'm going to give you some examples. True meekness is manifested in yieldedness to God's will and following the Spirit of God. It's a principle of righteousness. It doesn't compromise with evil. God-giving meekness helps us to stand for God-given principles. It's that character of that control within that helps us to know what we should say, when we should say it, and how God can lead us in those times. I'm going to give you some examples. So let's go to the Old Testament just for a few minutes. Old Testament examples. Abraham was a truly meek man. Genesis 13. Abraham took his wife and he left Egypt. And who went with him? Lot. Have I already lost you? You don't remember Lot? Okay. You're writing down. And there was strife between whom? Abraham and Lot's cattlemen, right? They got into it. And Abraham displays meekness. And here's how meekness is displayed in the life of Abraham. He said, even though he was the one that brought Lot along, Lot, you choose first. I have strength of character enough. I am principled enough to understand that even if you choose the best, I'm still going to be okay. It's meekness on full display. It's character on display. Abraham was satisfied with the leftovers. I just want to stop a minute here and say, let's not miss what I'm talking about. How many of you have to have your way? Don't go there, Dr. Mark. See, I came out of the mountains, and the men were in charge of the family. I had to learn how to be a husband. The reason I now, after 38 years here on August 2nd, the reason I can walk in now and have peace in my home is I learned to say yes, ma'am. I learned that I didn't have to speak what I thought sometimes because I would rather have her smile. I learned I'd rather be a meek man, and I learned that I could be controlled in my responses. When I first got married, I had to say my part too much. And if you met my wife, she didn't say a lot. Now it's reversed. She says everything she wants, and I just smile and say, yes, ma'am. I guess that's what us guys do, right? Not really. She's phenomenal. But we've learned how to get along. It's the strength of character. And it plays out as much in a home as anywhere. Learning to get along. What I said to you yesterday, she's going to listen to. And I'm okay with that. Because I cherish this lady. And I love her so much that I will do anything I can reasonably to please her. And that's where your marriage can get. I didn't start out that way. I had to learn. And part of it's learning to have strength of character to keep your mouth quiet sometimes. I often say, my wife and I, when we got married, we made a pledge, and this is a good pledge. All of you, I would ask you to take this. You should take this with me. We made a pledge that we would not go to bed mad at each other. We will not in our 38 years. Now, I've stayed up 2 or 3 weeks sometimes, not slept. No, I'm serious. I'm being funny there, but I'm serious. And that really was me. I had to do it. Now, here's what you got. I am a guy who can say what I think. My wife is the one who's going to think about it and not say a word. So I call it her pouting times, okay? And you probably have in your home one of the other, one that says what they think and one that's pout, and then sometimes you switch roles, okay? But I learned that was not going to work. And she and I, if we have a word, which we now just don't because of all we've been through, but when we had a word in the past, we just learned to work it out. And when you as a husband, listen to me, husbands, when you as a husband, regardless of how you're feeling, and regardless of if you don't want to, when you humble yourself as the leader of the home and say, honey, I'm sorry, I love you, I spoke too harshly, I shouldn't have said that, you can go to sleep a lot quicker, a lot better. And that's just what my wife and I practice, and we practiced it for the last 38 years. We didn't always get it perfect. I'm sure she probably went to bed upset at me a few times. I'm one that tends to get over it pretty quickly, but she just something we practice. So meekness plays out in the home. Another aspect of meekness is demonstrated by Moses, who was described as what? Who was Moses? How was he described? The meekest man. The meekest man. What made Moses meek? Well, let's look at him just for a moment. Numbers 12:3. Somebody read that to me. Numbers 12:3. Okay, get ready to read that. Moses demonstrated meekness as he led upon the earth. And Moses is one of our first examples of being a leader in the Bible. That you could really, Abraham did, but Moses is put on display as leading, okay, the children of Israel. What's 12:3 say? Numbers 12:3. Someone read it quickly. Okay, that is one of the words that's used, humble, meek. Now let me go into it just a little. Moses, first of all, followed God's command. He did what he was told when he didn't even want to be the leader. He went into Egypt, okay? So first, in being meek, you have to learn how to follow God's command. Secondly, he ascended into the mount, on Mount Sinai. And what did he do? He spent time with God. So the second thing, you want to be a meek person. Moses was one who spent time with God. While there, Moses received what? The Ten Commandments. You remember that? Can you imagine being there and God choosing you? And he says, Brother Ron, I'm going to have you take the law, the Ten Commandments, back to the people here. Can you imagine how humbling that would be? And so Moses is coming off that mountaintop experience of meeting with God. And what happens? What happens? What happens when Moses comes down off the mountain? You know the story. Tell me. They are misbehaving. They have idols. They are dancing, okay? After receiving these words, Moses comes off the mountain. He finds the people dancing around a golden calf. Needless to say, he was greatly angered. Now, just stop for a moment. Meekness and anger? Can't be. Oh, yes. Righteous anger. On display. And let's just put all the myths aside. Did he get mad and throw something? Yes, he did. He took the idols and he broke them and he let everybody know he was back and he was in charge and they were going to go to hell. You think that was just a gentle reprimand? Oh, no. Moses let his righteous indignation came forth. So I want to put a myth to rest here. I'm a meek person. I never, ever get riled. Wrong. Sin riles me today. Wrong does too. And it's okay for me to raise my voice sometimes at sin. And it's okay to break an idol once in a while at sin. Now, there's a huge difference in an anger that's directed at a person and an anger that's directed at sin. So I'm not giving you the license to go out and hit your wife. Or maybe today I should turn it, you may hit your husband. I've run into that more lately, where wives were beating up on their husbands. I was like, what in the world? You got to be kidding me. Okay, we are in a changing day. Maybe when we got into all these rights of everybody, and maybe the hormones are getting changed around too. I don't know. I will not go there, okay? So Bible-based meekness is this. Bible-based meekness is having a principle character of God that's sensitive to the will of God, and it does not follow the will of the people. Moses was unwilling to yield on the principle of righteousness or compromise with evil. God gave David the kingdom. Samuel, the prophet, had told him, as he anointed him with to be king, that he would go through some trials. The Spirit of the Lord had descended on David, and it had departed from Saul. Remember that passage? 1 Samuel 16:13-14. Somebody read that for us. 1 Samuel 16:13-14. First one to get it, read it. 1 Samuel 16:13-14. Okay, so you see what's happening here. Spirit of the Lord's coming on David. It's left Saul. Now listen to the meek man that David was. David, on numerous occasions, had opportunity to kill his enemy, Saul. You remember that? Remember when he went into the cave? Who came into the cave? Saul. In the middle of the night, David was back in the cave further. David could have gotten up and cut his head off, as was practicing that day, but he did not. It's a display of meekness. What am I talking about? Strength of character. Learning to say when I should say, learning to be quiet when I should be quiet. Meekness is not what we've thought of in this world. David knew that God had promised him the kingdom, and so his true trust was in God. Jesus is the greatest example when he says, I am meek and lowly, John 2:13-16. I am meek and lowly, Jesus says. Yet you saw Jesus do what? Run out the money changers? Scourge the temple? What was he doing? He was standing up for righteous principle, but he was a man of inner strength and character. I want to ask you tonight, or this morning, just for a couple minutes. How are you doing on your inner strength? How are you doing on your controlled responses? I have come to conclude, as I've studied this, and I've studied this over the last several years, but more importantly, recently again, but I've come to conclude that we need a lot more with regard to this area of meekness. Because most of our work issues would not be work issues if we learned to have inner strength and control. I've learned that most marriages would not be in trouble if this idea and principle of meekness could be on display in our marriages. I know, and I joked a little about saying yes, ma'am, to my wife, but I'm going to tell you, I love that lady so much. Now, I'm not going to go out. Here's where I'm meek. I know what the Bible says about certain things. I'm not going to go out and do certain things. That's my inner strength of character. But I'm going to deliver that to her and the boys in a manner that's loving, that's principled, that teaches. I'm going to just admit to you, as I studied this again recently, and after going through what I've been through, I feel like a complete failure in this area. There were so many times when something was going wrong with one of the boys, and Dad was too strong and too harsh. I had to take care of it. You know how we're trained. You're not going to do that in this house. You've heard those words. And there's a time and place for those types of things. But as I've studied this meekness, I've learned even more recently that when I have that strength of inner character to do it the right way with my boys, both of my boys are adopted. I had Doug, our firstborn, and Doug was one of these kids. He's 6'3", he's 300, he's a big kid, and everyone calls him a gentle giant. But I saw him getting out of line a little, and I would come down on him so hard because I wanted him to do the straight and narrow and be the right kind of kid. And I look back, and I'm sure all of us as dads, moms could say that, and I think, what in the world was I doing? And then I got my second one, the total opposite of my first one. He's 5'6", and 150 pounds. Little Hispanic kid that we adopted from Guatemala. I love that kid to death. I love him. Love my first one. I love my second one. He's a total different. And he and I, my wife says he's so much like you. He's 5'6", but he leads everybody. He's going to be in charge, and he's going to go make it happen. I mean, he just came in the other day, and he said, Dad, you know, I'm working on my first million. I'm going to have a million by the time I'm 30. Like, okay, how are you going to do that? You just watch me. You just watch me. He's got some get up and go. And I'm going to say it here. I will not be surprised that he does. Because that kid will go out. He's 18 or 19 years old. I never once have to wake him. He gets up at 5 o'clock and goes to work in the morning. Then he goes to school in the day, and then he'll come home and work in the afternoon. I never have to tell him. I think maybe once or twice in my whole life I've had to wake him up. He's up. He's going to make it happen. I've had to handle them differently, and I didn't do a very good job as a dad. I'll just be honest with you sometimes. But you know what? I've got the closest relationship with my boys. Because when I realized that I wasn't handling things with meekness sometimes, I was willing to humble myself and go back to them and say, boys, I never had a kid before. I didn't know how to do it. Sometimes my dad was really rough on me, and that's what you pass on. And my dad's a great dad. Don't take that wrong. But I've learned and have to learn. I've had to learn this principle of I've had to learn it as a boss. I've had to learn it as a husband. I've had to learn it as working with people everywhere, that I can be under control and have strength of character and have meekness, even though I'm correcting a tough situation. Do you know you can do that? Now, for some of you, I'm sure, some of you have not heard this definition of meekness. But I've given you a really biblical definition. Let me give you just some, for those who are taking some notes, let me give you some things to check out. Okay, I know we're coming to an end. James 1:21, read that passage. Don't have to right now, but I want to give it to you. Meekness is the opposite of self-assertiveness and pride. Meekness is about saying, I will do whatever's necessary. I will serve. It really is servant leadership. Meekness is about servant leadership. When the Lord's word challenges our way, meekness helps us to obey the word and do what the word says. Psalms 25:9 is a good passage you should know. 1 Peter 3:15 and James 3:13. When you are communicating God's message, I have learned as I've become a soul winner, and I love to lead people to Jesus, that walking in the door and just turning Jesus into their face is never the way to do it. I've learned that as I love them and become meek with them and handle them with principle, and they watch my life, they're going to seek me out many times and say, "Brother Mark, tell me, why are you different? Tell me about yourself. Tell me why you do such and such." This idea of strength of character coming on full display again. Meekness will allow us to be unyielding in our stand, yet humble in how we present. Galatians 6:1, Colossians 3:12 and 13, a spirit of meekness. Listen to this one now, and I had to learn this one. And we in the holiness movement, as I preached across, I've preached to thousands and thousands. Let me tell you one of our areas we have to work on. Meekness is what helps us restore a fallen brother or sister. I don't see many that are restoring. I've got a man I've been working with 4.5 years, 5 years. I prayed with him. He's been through so much. And just last night, when I thought we're getting over the hump, I get a message. He needs help from one of his friends. You need to help him right now. And so when I was in my room, I was praying and I was responding when I could get internet to this message from this beautiful lady who's saying, You got to pray for him. You got to talk to him. You got to help him through. What makes you want to restore someone? You have to be a person of character, a person that is going to do right, and a person that's going to love regardless. And one of the things that's come out of my time of being with God in the last year and a half, and just a lot of it in the bed, is I've looked at myself as God has shown me through the Holy Spirit who I am. And I'd love to go back and be president of a college again, because I did it so wrong sometimes. And I'd love to go back with my boys and redo some things, because I felt like I did it so wrong sometimes. But God's growing me and God's teaching me. And the boys are seeing it, and my wife's seeing it, and people around are seeing it. Because Christ, his character, is flowing through me. Let me ask you a question. Do you display strength of character in the inner man, in the inner woman? Do you control responses? Have you learned meekness? Have you learned to sometimes not say what you're thinking? It'll help your marriage. Have you learned sometimes not to let your friend know exactly what they need to do because you got it all figured out? Chances are down the road, you're going to be hit with that again if you think you got it all figured out. And you're going to go right through it yourself because you don't have it all figured out if you think you got it all figured out. And you're going to have to go through it again. What God's trying to teach us is if we're going to reach a world for Jesus Christ, we've got to be people who are meek. Lord, help me to be meek. Now, I do like this. Let's end positively. Blessed are the meek because... What did you say? No, this is the aggressive leader who's going to be the one who... You mean as electing our next president? It doesn't apply to that, does it? I'll just put it out there real bluntly. I don't like our choices, and I did like the way our president beforehand, led more toward the things of God than ever. President Trump did that. I'm going to give credit, okay? But I don't like his bragging, and I don't like his me first attitude, because that's not a meek person. Okay? Now, here's what I don't understand. When I say that, it's not a judgmental statement. I don't know what he's been through and what he's going through, and he probably, if I knew what he was facing when he got in that White House, I'd probably change my mind all the time, okay? But I want to be that meek person. And here's why. And don't ask me my thoughts on the other side, okay? I don't believe in godlessness. And for you that don't know how to vote, study your Bible. I'm going to take the best choice I can out of the two. Okay? And you got to do that. But here's what I want you to know. At the end, who's going to inherit the earth? The meek. Those who have lived by right principle, stood for right principle, been strengthened by the inner Holy Spirit and by the inner man, those are the ones who are going to inherit the earth. I don't want to go in eschatology, but boy, there could be a lot said about that. And God's got a plan. And you might think we're going down, and we may even have to go through persecution. I guess my mind all changed when I went overseas and I saw my Chinese brothers and sisters being persecuted. And I'm talking jerked out of their homes. Right the day before I was there, one of them had his home totally destroyed because they found out he had Bibles. They brought dozers in and just took it down. It happened. A man, an 80-year-old man and his wife, passing out some of the gospel in prison. I was there. I met these people. One had lost their children. Just everywhere you go, persecution, unbelievable persecution going on in China right now. Our news media shuts it down. It's happening. Friends, I'd rather dwell with that side, because they are not going to lose the battle or the war, because God's already won it. God's won. And while we're here, just get ready. I still believe there's principles where the meek are going to inherit the earth. I believe it. Be a meek person. Now, I could go to the altar, you could go to the altar, we all could go to the altar today. And if you can't, you probably need to get saved and let the Holy Spirit start working on you, okay? But let's just take it and grow. And that's what God's doing to me right now. Growing me. I'm becoming a different man. My wife actually likes me. If she was on the phone, she'd say, "Mark, I can hear it now. I love being with her." But the people around you will like you if you become a person seeking after God. Father, take these words, bless them to our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. What questions do you have? Yes.
So it's all right. It's all right to write that you're the meekest man in the world.
Well, but God was overseeing the process. God is overseeing and ordaining what's there. Yeah, I've not even thought about the question enough to answer, but no. This is a God thing. It's not. It wasn't Moses.
It's in parentheses. Uh-huh.
Yeah. I'd have to look at it and study it more, but it was something from God that made Moses like that. So, any other questions? I might not know the answer, but we'll talk about it. Is this okay? Is it helping? Had you ever heard meekness like that? Not much. I hadn't. as I've studied it, it's been very helpful to me. Okay? God bless you. Thanks.